And that's why you want to upload your stuff first before coming up. And so I make a tool called Laidout. I started it in 2005. I use it to lay out cartoon books, but something I've been doing with it over the years is experimenting with strange new tools. So for instance, this is one tool that I have in Laidout, you can take objects and lay them out onto a path. And then this thing you can drag up and down and change the orientation of how it sits on the path and how it's the gaps between objects on the path, whether it's rotated and things like that. So this sort of tool I would love to be able to use in other programs. And conversely, there are many tools in other programs that I would like to use in Laidout. For instance, in Inkscape, there's something being developed as an on-canvas tiling tool. Right now, the tiling in Inkscape, it's in this gigantic, horrendous dialogue. It's really complicated. You have to have an IQ of like 500 in order to use it. But it's being worked into a tool that's really simple to use. I think that would be fabulous to use in my program and other programs. This is in Krita. Krita has this new transform warping tool where you just define a bunch of dots and then move the dots around. It's really simple. It's powerful. I think that's great. That particular interface, I would love to be able to use in all kinds of different ways. So there are various ways that different people think about interfaces. And this is just a spectrum. So if this picture offends anyone, don't worry. I'm not actually talking about you. Programmers focus mostly on the code. It's a stereotype. They have tasks to do to get done, so they have to research, like do tutorials or whatever, and figure out how to do things. Designers have deadlines, so they want things to be very systematic and be able to please their client or whatever, and just very clean. And they don't really need that little apple down there, but many designers think they do. And artists, on the other hand, just like to go wild and experiment with all kinds of bizarre, crazy things that are not really practical or efficient in most cases, but they allow a creative output. So how do you make tools that kind of satisfy all of these concerns? Once you find a tool that you like, how can you use that in other programs? So it's kind of something I've been exploring. The emergence of the HTML canvas opens up a pretty broad field. Many of the libraries being used on it, like processing or the JavaScript any way of it, or Paper.js, it's very, very simple to make tools. Like for here, you could, with just a couple of pages of code, you can click down and then for instance, and drag out a line and then drag out another thing, and it creates these creates objects or whatever that's might be more difficult to do otherwise. The point is that it's very simple to make new tools. I wish that feature was available in many other systems. So as an example of that, you have a task to do. At one point, there may have been a tool that made it easy, but as time goes on, especially for like programs that have been around a while, if you try to implement new tools for them, I've discovered that it's very, very difficult to figure out how it is, because the original programmers didn't document it. The code for tools is spread across several directories. It's very difficult to find the rationale behind how it was done before. So you might try, and you might fail. So the task is to find the right tool. Got to use the right tool for the job, or if you can't find the originals anymore. On a technical level, in making tools for Laidout, this is kind of a summary of things that I've sort of narrowed down and what I've taken from Paper.js and similar things. Is like typical JavaScript things. There's a difference between rendering. Like in some systems, Paper.js, for instance, you have a scene graph kind of behind the scenes. You don't do rendering specifically. You make objects that sort of exist somewhere. And then there's an alternate way, which I believe is done by processing, where there's a, a method that gets called repeatedly to update the screen. And if you want a scene graph, you have to maintain that yourself. There are strengths and weaknesses to either scene. But with a concept of tool sharing, it might be nice to have those depending on people's work habits. And as time goes on, animation is becoming more common. It would be nice to have methods like this, not only for animation, but also for iterated tools. Like there's some kinds of warping that you can sort of have things grow into a certain state, and then like press a button to make it play until you get to the spot you want it to. Let's see. Then you can also have different docs and things. I mentioned before I don't really like dialogues at all. I try to avoid them whenever possible in layout. But if you're in a hurry, it's very easy to make a dialogue that corresponds directly to a data structure just because you have to get something done. So it's like things like QML and other things sort of make that easy. In my ideal tool sharing world, you would have things like that. So this is an example of a tool in layout that has a whole bunch of on-screen controls. There's a bunch of different kinds. It's sort of technical. So you can move the canvas around. If you share a tool, you have all these, if you define all these methods that can be easily ported between applications, it makes sense to assume a certain context also. Pretty much all programs use objects with affine nesting, which just means you can scale it, rotate it, and shear it. It's very common. So if you have an environment where you can code something like that, that seems to be a reasonable assumption. So these functions, if you have a facility to implement those, it would go a long way, I think, toward being able to share tools across not just like Inkscape or GIMP or whatever, but also to future things like HTML5 and whatnot. So that's pretty much it. So sharing tools could be the greatest thing since sliced bread, in my opinion.